Hello, everyone. Today is July 16th, Sunday, and we're having our regular Sunday meeting. Today, we are going to continue in Article 1 out of the Book of Revelations, starting on page 116 with verse 56 and 57. We'll see how far we go. As I said in the email that I sent to everyone, I learned when we were just beginning our online studies of the sealed book with John back in Utah, that we started in the back of the book, and that was because of Dear Sweet Steve asking a question. And that's where we started. And because we didn't know really what we were doing. And Steve happened to ask the first question. And what I've learned because we started in the back of the book was that the back teaches you what's in the front, and the front teaches you what's in the back, and everything is intertwined. And the same way with the New Testament and the Old Testament and the Book of Mormon, everything is intertwined and not necessarily following the same time frame that either we've been taught or we try to put into our human understanding. So knowing that, I encourage everyone to read through all of this book and begin to understand how it ties together, what revelations were given to us in 2019 and 2020, and ones that were given to us most recently in 2022 and April of 23. So I encourage you to do that, because in going back and reading, starting with verse 56 and remembering things that the end of the book explains to us, it's made these verses much more real to me, I think, more attentive and meaningful, and kind of puts people in their place. It also gives us an understanding of how to do better missionary work or how to answer people's questions. And I loved figuring all of that out. So with that being said, we're going to start with verse 56. Would anybody like to read that?
Jean, what page are you on?
Oh, I'm on page 116 in the Book of Revelations. I hope everybody's had a chance to kind of read some of the verses that I've not put together.
So I can read this verse.
Okay, thank you.
Beware of those who come to you in sheep's clothing, but who are devouring wolves inside, because these are the ones who will give you to the councils to be expelled, and among these there will be many malicious ones, which will lead you to the final slaughter and will spread insidious reports, saying that your group stood up despite the church having rejected. And this next context sealed from the Book of Mormon plates, I've been looking at the Portuguese here, and I don't know why it uses context, but I think this should say sealed content from the Book of Mormon plates. But anyway, I don't know if that's, I've been making a list of things that I think we could look at possible change. But anyway, I think the word context doesn't mean the same thing in Portuguese as it does in English. They will excessively defame the one you have as a prophet. When they raise an injury, each will tell his companions that his prophet, using contemptuous words, had been excommunicated by the general authorities, trying to overlap a privilege that only the president of the church holds. And with that, they will try to incite many to repudiate your preaching.
Thoughts on that?
Yeah, you kick out a person out of the LDS church, you can't listen to him anymore.
Yes.
It really doesn't stop anybody from listening to them.
That's true.
They just figure
that's their attempt.
They can do it. And then if you're a good, faithful little person, you follow and you go, oh, they told us not to listen to you. Doesn't work that way. Or it shouldn't.
If you're following the spirit, it doesn't work that way.
Yes.
I agree with that, Russell. And that study group, they talked about the last church that's mentioned in the book of Revelations, and the people were lukewarm. They were supposed to be the saints of God, but they actually were lukewarm. They didn't really follow the Spirit. It wasn't burning in their hearts so that they were pursuing the truth, and they just became complacent. And then they just followed the dictates of the leadership.
I think that comes through with the contrite spirit, the broken heart and the contrite spirit, you know, and the fact that people listen to their prophet and don't go to the Lord. So it sounds to me like in here it says, you know, the LDS church spread reports that we stood up and said, this is the true prophet. He lives in Brazil, despite what we were told from the and then they told us to reject the seal plates. And then, like someone mentioned right earlier, the legal matter over the name. I mean, they did a lot.
Yeah, it depends if you live in Brazil or United States, whether or not. That's an issue. In the United States, we can use a name with no problem, but public right. domain, not Brazil.
And what was the purpose of doing that to us?
Just to cause impediment, to cause roadblocks, I think, is all.
The last sentence in that verse?
Oh, the last sentence. Well, the thing about they're saying, the LDS Church says only the president of the church can give new scripture. So you can't be giving the world new scripture.
Yeah, so they're trying to tell us that we can't listen to the Spirit and we can't go to the Lord and ask questions. They want us to. Go ahead.
I don't know why. Well, I guess I do, because it has such a profound effect in my heart, is the words of Moroni concerning this conversation. And most of you know this, number 29. When it gives us assurance and it gives us confidence and strengthens our faith when we're confronted with these people. And for any of you that haven't heard this, let me read it. And even if they try to silence you and persuade you to deny these things before you are defamed for accepting the greater part of the Book of Mormon, which comes with the priesthood of the Son of God, whose law and ordinances are purely spiritual, and which it will be revealed among those who accept and experience the minor part. So lift up your heads honorably when this begins to happen. What greater honor can there be among the true Latter-day Saints than to be classified as inadequate by men, when it is properly fulfilling everything that I, Jesus Christ, before commanded you to do? I need to get that typed and put on my bathroom mirror for some of the conversations I have, trying to take that proverbial hammer and chisel and take the rock from around their heart when I'm having conversations with some of the members of the church. Little by little, I keep going back, and I've got another one this week. But no matter what they say.
So what did you read, Steve?
In the words of Moroni, number 29.
Verse 29 of the words of Moroni in the sealed book.
No, just a couple pages back.
Oh, a couple pages back. Oh, okay.
It's on page 103, correct?
Yeah.
Well, part of it is.
26 is on page 99.
I think you read that line.
Yeah, 103, page 103.
Oh, it's 29? Oh, okay. Yes, okay. I'm with you now.
Steve, on that hardness of heart, I think I mentioned I'm reading the original Book of Mormon, And it's so interesting in that it says, woe unto the Gentiles, if it so be that they harden their hearts against the Lord, the Lamb of God. And then it says, and woe be unto the Gentiles, if it so be that they harden their hearts. And it's repeated twice in the original Book of Mormon. The New LDS version removed the second repeatment of that statement. But then later on in the chapter, it says, and if they harden their hearts, there'll be a great division among the people. So this is like such a fundamental truth of importance about the attitude and disposition of your heart and the willingness to hear and accept the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I remember vividly my excommunication and you know, of course, I went in there with sets of pamphlets for all, including the scribe. And I pulled this page. I had it typed to add to this. And then I thought, is it for me to punish rather than to invite? But during that, I'd never been through anything like that. And honestly, my heart was full of enthusiasm and excitement, because once you understand the real deal, I know there's an Alma in here somewhere. And I remember them asking me if I would sustain President Nelson. And I sat there for a minute and I said, well, I can sustain Brother Mauricio because I know for sure that this man is a prophet of God. I have seen him in visions. I gave him the stuff. I said, as far as Brother Nelson, though, you know, I don't have enough information. I mean, you guys have taught me to judge them by their works. And there was a dead silence. I said, and I can't answer that. I don't have enough to judge him on. But they didn't get mad, but they just asked me to pray about it. And I said, it's not about praying on something that doesn't exist. You've told, and scripture says, that you will know them by their works. And at that point, I could tell that they were left with no other conclusion. And I told them, I said, I'm sorry, I love you guys, but I put you in a position. I understand what you got to do. But you got to understand that I'm going to follow the Lord no matter what.
The LDS Church, the only criteria nowadays is follow the prophet. Everything else has gone by the way.
Yeah.
And the only criteria to get into their temples is to pay their tithe.
And follow the prophet.
Yes. Once you follow the prophet, pay the tithing, build those beautiful buildings.
And verse 65 here in this lesson today, I think is so interesting.
It is. I really kind of wanted to start closer to that, but I think these are good verses to prepare us and understand. 57, briefly, you know, it goes back through and tells us that we have the three witnesses and the eight witnesses to testify to the world in the same way that the testimony of the Book of Mormon was placed before us. And I think that that's important to remember when we are looking at the likeness between the future and the past and the intertwining of everything.
Which verse?
57.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Who wants to read that? We'll just quickly read that. I
will. I've got a phone. I'm in a condo and I don't have a charger, so I've only got like 10%. And I've got it recorded instead of printed with me on the road. So let me do that. I've still got battery.
Okay.
All right. 57.
Yes.
But be of good cheer, because three factors will be on your back. The issue regarding the appearance of the sealed records among you, the mention made of angels and prophets of the past come again to the instruct men in the present day, and witnesses' reports from the plates these past few days. For just as the Book of Mormon given to Joseph Smith Jr. at the opening of the fullness of times, and the written word, and was confirmed not only by three, but by eight more witnesses to testify to the world of its veracity. In the same way, the testimony of my servant Joseph Frederick Smith will be like the voice of thunder and will shake the foundations of Zion, whose voice will be heard even after many generations of him having already left his hand with this land with his ancestors, and together with his companion, who will soon descend on this country, as I have always appointed, from two to two, they will find the other six witnesses among the leaders who rest in Zion. Know therefore that I am the Lord, who am providing faithful and worthy men of this work, who will come down to this place with the purpose of being these witnesses, whose conduct is straight for me and with no intention of hurting or causing deceit.
Any thoughts on that?
I might give you what 58:13 says. And the testimony might go forth from Zion, yea, from the mouth of the city of the heritage of God.
Okay.
Russell, what's your take on the other six witnesses?
That's the ones that came from the
original record.
Yeah, from the United States to go to Brazil.
Okay.
I think it's important to realize that what is happening right now and connecting to the past of Joseph Smith's time, the purpose of the witnesses and the changing of the witnesses, and how God just doesn't let things fall apart. He's always got an answer. And so the very beginning of that verse, what are the three factors? These are supposed to strengthen us and give to us to remember when people call us out and say we don't know what we're talking about. These three things are supposed to strengthen us. So the first one, the issue regarding the appearance of the sealed records among you. How does that strengthen us?
Well, I think from a perspective of one of us standing as an individual testifying of somebody to somebody else who doesn't know these things, they can readily identify, if they're Book of Mormon, about the power of plates being presented by angels. This is the kind of thing that has happened again, and the witnesses and the translation, and of course that gets into the seer stones and prophets called of the Lord and being taught for 10 years. Those are all pretty exciting. You know, I can't imagine if we all could go into an LDS study group and share that with every one of them. Yeah, that would leave jaws dropped.
Yep.
And if
they could hear, on the hair on their back, yeah,
it would convert hearts.
So that's also the second one, the angels and prophets of the past to instruct the men of today. Mauricio has talked a lot about that. And which conference was it, November conference last year? It showed the pictures of this orbs in the sky. Yeah, how can you refute that? Just so amazing. We don't need to be able to quote everything, but the joy that's in our heart and the love for Christ when we're telling people about those things should just wake them up and ask questions. They should want to know why. Why do we believe that? You know? What was the third one? The third thing in there, it said.
Witnesses. The witnesses, right?
Right.
More so than was necessary in a court of law or to something regarding that effect.
There you go. More so. Not just a couple. A group, a large group.
Gene, I was discussing with someone this idea of being asleep. And they remembered what what Christ had said, I will come as a thief in the night. And it's like, and if you had been awake, you would have been ready when they broke. And it never occurred to me that what he's saying is they were asleep instead of being on guard. And so that struck me in a different way than I had thought about that passage before. Sleeping means not awake, not actively looking for the truth, not being alert, not being watchful, you know, this kind of alertness to the changes and events that are taking place.
Exactly. The traditional thought of just, like Russell said, follow the prophet without any question. And I've seen that so much. Yeah. Somebody once said, or I saw a bumper sticker that said, be a lion, not a sheep. So, yeah. So 58 is okay, and it's not too long. Who would like to read that one? Michael, could you read that for us, please? Thank you.
Yes. That alone will do, like flames of fire thrown in the wind. This one that has been called among you of such a noble cause. But to say that such events is the main reason for your search for an understanding of the truth that had been altered within the church since the death of Joseph Smith until today would be tantamount to saying that the true reason that moved the saints to uniting with Joseph Smith had been the similar things he reported to his countrymen, when in fact, what moved people to abandon everything they had and follow him was the context of the scriptures clarified by him, which with as much understanding as they had ever seen or heard in any account of a preacher who has existed since I was on the earth in the meridian of time, until his time, who may have spoken at some point in human history such a teaching as with such clarity of understanding as did my servant Joseph Smith show the truth of my gospel in his day.
Pretty powerful. So I looked up the word tantamount because I thought it was a strange word in this verse, or strange even to Portuguese and translating into English. It's not a word I use. It's not a word I hear often. And translated, it says meaning virtually the same as. And then I looked further into it and it said that this is a mid 17th century word, old Italian word. Italian and Portuguese are close, and I think someone said that the language of the sealed books was an older language, not the newer type of Portuguese that we use. And it struck me as being kind of fitting to this verse in tying the past and the present together. It's saying that people tend to search for an understanding of the church, but in the wrong way. And again, to me, that's the traditions that we've been taught. Instead of trying to understand it with a broken heart and a contrite spirit and learning exactly what the Lord wants us to know, we tend to try to understand things in a human nature. That's what the first part of it means to me. Any other thoughts?
What a powerful testimony of the prophet Joseph Smith. Way to go, buddy.
Yes. So sometimes in these revelations, the Lord's talking to us, and sometimes he's talking to Mauricio or other identified people. But here, I think he's saying to us, he's saying that, you know, Joseph Smith is a wonderful prophet and we don't listen enough to him. And that he's the most loved man that the Lord has now on the face of the earth, or at that point, since he was on the face of the earth. How much thought goes into our heads to try to understand that? How loved Joseph was by Jesus, and how much Jesus gave to Joseph the privilege and honor of teaching us. And he talks about how clear the clarity of understanding that his teachings gave to us. And that's where I feel very humble in understanding Mauricio, because in the sacred round, Mauricio carries the spirit of Joseph Smith. Any other thoughts?
Yeah, I have something.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember reading through the teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith, and I was, it was about a year ago, and I was sitting there. I was like, I have never heard a conference talk from the LDS Church like this. I was like, where did it go wrong? Because here are these booming revelations coming from God, and now what I sit through feels like a self-help seminar. So I've always believed the words of Joseph Smith, and it's, they're quite beautiful just to sit down and read and to pray about. And I've used many of his quotes during like sacrament talks that I've given. And actually one time an old bishop told me, he was like, hey, maybe you should use more modern prophets instead of Joseph Smith's teachings. I'm like, what's wrong with telling people to seek the face of Christ, you know? So that passage here where it was talking about him being, you know, extremely clear, that really spoke to me when I read this yesterday.
I imagine that if you put yourself in that position, like those people in the early times, example being in England and being preached to by some of the better preaching, and the stories of the 500 people that had been waiting, looking for the true word of God, and all those things that, you know, you could tell the Lord was at work with in England. But opening people's hearts, as he described for them in clarity, better so than what they had heard before, that made them follow and travel and come to the United States. Because I think inherently people that are seeking the deeper mysteries or seeking God's face are going to be mesmerized by a clearer understanding, because it's going to feed the heart, not just the mind. You know, maybe good speakers and that kind of thing, but when they carry the spirit in their words, and like Joseph did, some of the stories from the books and journals that you read about things that happened, and yeah, they came that long distance because what was happening in their hearts, not because their friends were doing it or somebody was preaching it like that in America. The spirit can move mountains, and it certainly can move a lot of ships.
Exactly.
Yeah, I will tell you about experience. I sent an email to my brother, listing a bunch of the scriptures that talk about what's going to happen during our time frame, and how the Holy Church of God will be polluted and so forth. And his response was, well, I follow the prophet. I mean, basically he says, I ignore those scriptures. I follow the prophet. I follow today's, and, you know, he enjoys being a temple worker and so forth. But that was the basic principle he was putting across.
I've told you this before, that my family in El Paso is very LDS, follow the prophet all the way. And I've, as I've been here for a year now and listened to some of the things that they say, and they never put me down. They don't challenge me. It's amazing to me how much what we know in the sealed book is starting to come through in little ways that they say to me, oh, the prophet said this. And I get the feeling that the prophet is a little scared. And by this LDS prophet, he's getting a little scared of what we know, because I hear the same things starting to come that we have been taught about loving, about joining together. And they still don't get it. They still don't understand that you can build, you know, if your goal is to build this beautiful temple, you've not helped the orphans. But it just, yeah, I think it's starting to be a movement out there that we're going to see a lot of later. So I think that it's heartening to me that we're at that point.
I saw an interview this week of Andrew Tate. And he mentions that he gives $25 million a year to some disadvantaged children and so forth. And I thought, you know, I don't know what percentage of that, of his income that is, but I'll bet it's a larger percentage than what the LDS Church receives and distributes for the disadvantaged.
Being asleep involves, well, is a result of a lot of things. And I like what Brother Bill was bringing into focus there. Is, you know, following the prophet, all is well in Zion, all of the things that are literally mantras to keep you asleep, we can hear and see and identify, but they cannot. And I wish they could. You know, we love them. We want them to know, or we wouldn't, you know. Yes, the Lord wants us to do it, and we're going to follow that. But the excitement of being able to open someone's eyes so that they start earnestly and sincerely asking questions that are, you know, looking for real answers rather than something to fight with. It's an amazing feeling to watch that happen in somebody. And I've had a few of those online, and they're just, they're exciting to be part of. So it's, the Lord is doing his work, as it says in the scriptures. And I've got to get to a point where no matter what they do, I'm going to still be excited. Because, you know, we as a group and we individually, we can hear and we can see and we do want to know and we want to help. And we were particularly those people we love the most and, you know, been friends for a whole life that now, like I'm sure you all have experienced too, you get a division and it's up to me not to make that a bigger division, but it's just easier not to talk to them. Sometimes you have to tiptoe around a little bit, but little by little, we can slip them a little more information, slip them a little of this, slip them a little of that, or send a picture of something like the plates, just here and there, you know, kind of keep them thinking. But the bottom line is the love in it. We do this because we can feel God's love and we want to share it. And we know it's right. We know it's true. So every time I start thinking about how somebody is cursing or putting down or some of the stuff I've listened to in some emails recently that I won't share, coming from Missouri, stir push buttons for me that I have to just really work hard to stay down and not react to, because they don't know. And in some cases, I think the adversary has found fertile ground to work with something negative. And Mauricio's had to deal with a lot of it too. And I wonder how he does it. 12 hours on the road dealing with some of this stuff and back and forth and still remaining excited. It's a good example for us all. But anyway, I didn't mean to get off on a tangent. It's just the feelings of this thing. It's knowing you're right and trying to help people and feeling overwhelmed with where do you start. It's a good problem to have, I suppose.
Yeah. I think this whole section that we're reading and on up to where it starts talking about the orphans more is exactly that, Steve, exactly what everyone is experiencing. I think it's kind of new for us to experience some of these challenges. Verse 59 seems to have a powerful explanation of what's going on. I think these are words to Mauricio. Someone want to read that?
I can read it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So truly, I say to you, it goes far beyond what you can imagine in your hearts, what you actually offer to this people, which today persists in approaching the Lord with my mouth, and with their lips they honor me, but their hearts are far from the fullness of my gospel. So little remains that I can save them according to the promises of exaltation that I have made to them. More, for following the precepts of men instead of paying attention to the true laws and commandments that were revealed to them again with the appearance of the Book of Mormon and the revelations of the Doctrine and Covenants. As I will tell you in the sequence of that work, advocating for pride and personal pride, the context that is clearly exposed in their own scriptures, making the complexity of the issue that involves the eternal salvation of their souls a foundation of sand.
That ending's pretty sad. Makes us worry about our loved ones. And it explains exactly what's happening as far as I can see in it. Following the precepts of men, follow the prophet. When we say things like that, and then we think about what we feel for Mauricio, follow the prophet. To me, I have to kind of sit and think, you know, is that the same thing? Is that what I'm doing? And I pray, I go back to the Lord and I pray that no, it's not, that I go to the Lord first as I'm listening to what Marisa is telling us. So when somebody says to you, yeah, you say not follow the LDS prophet, but you say follow your prophet. To them, it's contradictory and it's hard to answer that. And so like Steve said earlier, that thought just left. By his works. You'll know him by his works. Okay? You'll know the LDS Church by their works. Their beautiful temples. And it's not to put anybody down. Russell, your brother loves being a temple worker. I know many people that love me and cherish that. How do you get through to those people? It's difficult. So it is a complex issue. Ultimately, we need to remember that if we go back in our feelings of Mauricio and the church in Brazil and all the struggles we have with the language and the time that it takes to translate and everything, and we go back and we say to ourselves, it's not worth it, let's just go back to LDS Church or the RLDS Church and go with that, we can't do that. There's no way that we can do that because it's a foundation of sand And the Lord has told us where the rock foundation is going to be. Any other thoughts? Michael.
I just find it interesting here that these are the same words that Joseph Smith was told in the first vision, right? These people draw close to me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me. And here we are, you know, a couple hundred years later, have we become that same people? Or we just go through the motions, you know, we follow the precepts and teachings of men rather than approach Christ directly. You know, I think that's kind of been something I've been asking myself, you know, am I part of those people that the Lord talked about? You know, that we approach him with our lips, you know, we give him great lip service, but we're not doing what he asks. Just something to ponder, I guess.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. We are indeed just like the churches that were condemned at Joseph Smith's time.
Not only that, but I think we're being asked like the saints in Europe who made the move to America with just the suitcase. We're being asked to understand the purpose of Zion in Brazil.
I might find it hard to take off and do those kind of things just following a prophet if I didn't have the spirit in my heart, you know, because I'm not following Mauricio. I'm just really blessed that we've got a prophet who gives us some directions for the revelations that God has given us. You know, we've got a coach on our team. Somebody can get us in formation. We got a chance to win here. Before, you know, they wander off down into the end zone, they confused about which way to run, losing so many things because they didn't have somebody to. So I understand how these people, you know, you become asleep and you say things like, oh, don't worry about all that. Just follow the prophet. That's lazy work. I mean, I don't want to do it. Let's make it his responsibility. And I'll just, you know. So it's easy for us. It's easier for us to look over there and see that because we're led by the Spirit and we're going to follow the Spirit. And just in my opinion, are lucky, blessed. If you think back on how many years prior to, you know, we had Joseph, but then prior to that, I mean, this is not something this is a blessing to be in this particular period of time. We've got somebody that can help us from making that, you know, that one step forward and four steps back kind of progress. And I'm just really grateful that some of these people that you hear it, you know, I've told you, you didn't do anything. That was in 2021. You got small farm, you didn't act on it. We get a chance to get in recent revelation is the Lord directly tells him what to do. I have set this up and I've got this laid out and this, do it. Because the timelines and people doing the same things, they fall back on their laurels and sit there and get comfortable and want to negotiate and discuss and ponder and all the things that men do. I'm guilty of too, trying not to make mistakes. And we get caught up in things. So I just feel like we're blessed to be here. Let's move fast. Let's get this done where others couldn't do it. And we're blessed to have the instructions. We got an owner's manual. We got regulations telling us how to do it, and somebody who knows how to listen, hear, and record and see. But it doesn't take away the fact that I want all those people to come too. They've spent four or five generations or six believing these things, and I know why they believed them. The Spirit's in it. But they didn't have a coach on the sideline after Joseph left. And they keep falling into the drink and the water. And precepts and traditions. Here we are. What are we going to do with it? Make the most out of it. Yes.
Steve, I just love you. I love your approach. I just want to continue with your optimism and enthusiasm, because I agree with you. I believe that the Lord is qualifying his leadership team, kings and priests and priestesses. He is extending his arm and offering this greatest blessing to be a king in his kingdom. But you have to qualify. And the qualification, I think Gene said earlier, is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Your ears are open. Your eyes are open. You're willing to listen to the Lord. And the great and marvelous work is rolling forth, either to the eternal exaltation and the fulfillment of the blessings of the Lord, or to the hardness of your hearts and the blindness of your minds being led into the captivity according to the power of the devil. So we got to reach out and try to soften those hearts and have them hear that message. But blessed, I'm very excited about our opportunities.
Yep. We've got a championship team coming together. Let's go all.
The thing about this personal handbook that tells us what to do is that it's also telling us where the sand is. It's not just saying go this way. It's also warning us and telling us if you go this way, you're definitely going to be on the foundation of sand. And I think that that helps to strengthen us too as this team we're putting together. What time is it? Okay. I kind of wanted to get to 62. Does anybody mind if we jump over to verse 62?
Fine.
Okay. So verse 62, I'm going to read that one. Throughout the ages, from the beginning of the world, an obscure power from the order man was used by my enemy to murder my anointed and corrupt the leaders of my church in order to overcome, destroy, or replace the holy order of the Son of God in priestly tricks. And in spite of such a procedure, the same is happening again in these last days. In order to subdue those who, thirsty for the truth they have heard since the beginning of time, face the earth with an apparent reflection of what they so much seek in their spirits, the message of the gospel. How important is the order man? Where does it come from? Who's in charge of it? What's
the great and abominable, the great and abominable church?
Okay.
Which was founded by the devil.
Yes. Yes. I never heard of this until I read the sealed book. Kind of shocked me to think how strong the devil was, because I just kind of thought, oh, well, he's okay. You know, just leave him out there. He can't really do much. Then I realized maybe he can. So what is this verse saying to us? From the beginning of the world, he's had this. Satan has been there.
It corrupts good organizations and makes them into his own.
So what's he trying to do with ours? I think that that's what we're seeing today and everything that's going on. And it kind of scares some of us. It's hard to kind of wrap your head around all of that.
Even the government, this United States, is being corrupted in a similar way. where the foundation principles are being obliterated and ignored, replaced by some woke ideology that just plain allows the things to be ignored that are so important.
Well, and it comes in different names too. I mean, in the Book of Mormon, you have the Gadianton robbers, that they would, you know, overtake the lesser judges so that they could overtake the higher judges. And in that way, they would usurp the power of the government. I think it has many different names throughout history. In our generation, you know, we might call it the deep state or the globalist elite. You know, they have their agenda, and they've done a good job over the last century, the last 100 years or more, subverting the United States government. And here we find ourselves in this situation that we do today. And I think it's acting as kind of a wake-up call to, you know, patriots alike, that, you know, we need to stand up and fight for this nation. Otherwise, I don't mean fight for it, you know, kinetically with guns and whatnot, but I think spiritually, this is a spiritual battle that we're fighting, and trying to stand up to our woke school boards and the gender ideology that they're trying to teach, impose upon our children. You know, we need to fight back and take a stand and say enough. You know, I think it's probably the 5% minority that's been using social media and whatnot to amplify their message, you know, with bot farms or whatever that they can go buy, and they can send a post out to a million, make it look like a million people are saying the same thing. But I think all of that is being exposed methodically. We're starting to see what's happening, and we're waking up, like Moroni says in the Book of Mormon, in ether, you know, when will you wake up to the state of your awful situation? And I think we're seeing that now. More and more people are like, I'm not going to do this. We're not going to let this happen, not under my watch. And I think slowly but surely, hopefully we're taking back ground, and we can kind of push back the evil forces. But it starts with each of us, you know. General, what's his name? I follow him on Twitter. I can't remember his name, but he says that local action makes impact nationally. You know, you can start by, you know, just doing local things in your school boards and in your cities and states. And it will have a national impact. And I think that's what we need to do. We've got to stand up. We can't let this happen. But again, just circling back to that Mahan, you know, Gadianton robbers, the Order of Mahan, deep state, globalists, you know, it's all that same subvertive power behind the scenes that's trying to, you know, take away the freedoms of all people. I don't see it happening. I think enough people are starting. At least it woke me up. I know the last 3 years I was asleep at the wheel, and you know, with the COVID and everything, the elections and everything that's been going on, it's kind of made me sit back and say, you know, I need to take action. I need to do something. I can't just sit back and let this happen and be asleep at the wheel, as it were. Anyway, just my 2 cents.
Hoorah.
Yes. I know,
Michael, I'm optimistic for the country because of the promises of the Lord. This is the promised land, and there will be no kings on this land. And I believe that the Lord is going to bear his arm, and we're going to see some things those usurpers, the people who have usurped our government, are not prepared for some of the things that we might see from the Lord.
Amen. I agree to that.
I know Mauricio has asked us to keep political viewpoints out of the social media things that we post. I think it's important that we do what he says, definitely. But I think it's nice to hear that we all kind of have the same political values. I agree with Michael. I am not as close to some of the information that I used to have since the change in my situation, but recently I did hear some very good things about what there are people in the government that are fighting back. I have several friends in Homeland Security, and one just was on the protection security for President Trump when he was doing a rally in one of the, I think it was Ohio or Iowa, whichever one is closer to Nebraska. Anyway, one of the recent things. And just to know that there is a strong movement that's still out there, you guys. And so, yeah, I think Mauricio is saying that some of us need to be out of the way. Some of us need to be in certain areas, like where Bill is, to put together refuge areas, because the fight is coming and the Lord is putting us where he needs us. And that's what I truly believe. So as we wake up and begin this journey towards becoming closer to Brazil, or where we feel the Lord's put us, then I feel that we are building our foundation of rock, and that we're going to face much more adversary attempts on us, but we're okay. Isaiah said in some of his later chapters that all of the wilderness areas that we will be put in, we will ascend from them. And you can think of that as two ways. You can think of it as ascending into a higher level. Someone said to me recently that we are not human beings looking for a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings looking for a human experience. We've been here and done stuff. So next week, I hope that Harm will be able to be with us. Otherwise, we will continue in 63 and see where that takes us. Anything anybody wants to say before closing, before we stop the recording? Okay.